final comment about the Trumas and Maestros business, which is that I saw in a certain contemporary Halacha Sfarim that they say things along the line of sort of the opposite of the brisker of. They say that if you go to a vegetable market in Israel and you buy vegetables, so and you don't know exactly their provenance, so you don't have to Maestro them. What's the reasoning? They say nowadays Trumas and Maestros is only the Rabbanon, so you can go leniently.
Oh.
And the Rabbanut is officially supposed to Maestro all the produce, so hopefully they do. And even if the Rabbanut didn't Maestro it, so maybe the people who affected the final stage of processing of the produce that required Trumas and Maestros to be separated were not Jewish. So, and maybe they grew in an area that's not really Eretz Yisrael. So you have all these sveikis and the Rabbanon, so lemaisa, you don't have to separate Trumas and Maestros. So, okay, I mean, there's a very big poskim who do say this, things like this, but I think that lemaisa, if you go more into a deep understanding of what Chazal had in mind about Hafrashas Trumas and Maestros, I think this is not correct. That the Sefer HaChinuch said last time, as I pointed out, that there's the way the Chazal think about Hafreshes Trumas and Maestros is in a very machmer way. If you're not really sure that this produce was meisered properly, then you must meiser it yourself. So I think that such a psak is very questionable. Even in regular kashrus, yes, such a logic would work. But I think by Hafreshes Trumas and Maestros, Chazal imposed a higher standard of certainty for whatever reason, Ashkafic reasons that we can go into.
Yep.
They impose this higher standard, and one has to be really sure that the produce that one buys and eats is properly meisered, either by doing it yourself, or again, according to the common practice, relying on a hechsher that one trusts implicitly would be acceptable as well. We have to be sure that the store you're buying at has this hechsher, or the package of the produce that you're buying has the hechsher printed on it. But I think it would not be acceptable to just go into a market and, you know, I think there's a tuda in the corner. You know, I'm not going to look. I'm going to close my eyes, and here I'm going to buy carrots. I think that Lamaisa, that would not be an acceptable approach.
Can we have just a word or two on the hashkafic reasons why this got so important and so.
It's probably because. Again, it's hard to tell exactly for sure, but it probably has something to do with the fact that separation of Trumas and Maestros and giving them to the correct parties is representative of the proper setup of Jewish society, that you have the people giving the matanos to the Kohanim and Levim properly. So it's a remnant for that, and to remind people as to how Jewish agricultural society is really going to function, they impose this higher standard. Also because possibly there was one facet of it that Hazal didn't want people socializing with others of who are not as of high religious character. So as a sort of deterrent to that, if you know that you have to, they impose the restriction of demai. If you know that if you go to someone's house, let's say you have a friend who's sort of a nice guy, but like he's not so religious and he might not be the best influence on you. So if you know that if you go to his house, so if you have to eat, so you have to miser all the stuff on your plate. You have to take a little carrot out and put it on the side of the plate, a little potato out and put it on the side of the plate. So then that's going to be,
or next thing you know, I mean, they're going to let his daughter into your school.
But you at least maintain this stat, you know, this idea that you have to separate, or perhaps not go there in the first place because it's such an annoyance to miser everything.
It's also the producer's service as well, you know, that's my brother. That you know, some idea that, you know, the reminder that, in fact, that this is Eretz Yisrael, that you're
Right, that's something you do yourself, as opposed to Orla, for example, where we have the regular rules of kashrus supply, because, hey, everyone was nizer in that, and I guess since it's not so, here is an action that you do to your food that indicates that it has kedush, has the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? That's a very good point as well. And it's just interesting, this one story about how some people are machmir about Hafreshes Trumas Maestros. So it's known that Rav Yoshev gave shlichus, that he authorized one or two of his assistants to separate the Trumas Maestros from his food. One was Rav Efrati, who was a relatively famous figure in Israel, one or two other people. So it said that the people used to, when the Rabbi Yosha would get his platter of food, so these people would separate the Trumosa Meisers for him as his agent, and then they would eat it themselves. Why? They said, we're not so religious. We believe that this is Meisert already. We're giving it to Rabbi Yosha, so he's so so choshish, so we have to Meisert it. But the Meisert, we think this is Meisert already. So the Meisert is not, is not Chal. There you go with your... with your suggestion of that Baal Tashris, so it's not technically Baal Tashris, that you were throwing so much food out. So it's very easy. Let's say you're Haredi and you don't rely on the Rabbanut, and you have a friend who's Dati Lumi and they do rely on the Rabbanut. So very easy. You buy Rabbanut produce and you miser it yourself. Fruits is a shiloh of Orla. Maybe you wouldn't rely on the Rabbanut for Orla. Anyway, whatever. But you get whatever produce you want to miser yourself, whatever hechsher, and you separate the trumas from misers yourself, and instead of giving it to a Levi or a Kohen, you give it to your neighbor who's Dati Lumi. Mm-hmm. So he says, well, I believe this is miser. I trust the Rabbanut to separate the trumas from miser. I trust whatever hechsher. So there you can avoid the baltashes by just giving the trumas from misers to someone who believes that... it was, in fact, Meisert already. Okay, fine. Mitzvah Reish Pehei 285. Shelo Nakdish Bale Mumin Lahakrivim Lamizbeach. That we should not declare animals that have a defect in them to offer them on the altar. Shelo Nakdish. Why does it say Lahakrivim Lamizbeach? Why doesn't it just say Shelo Nakdish Bale Mumin? Because there are two types of kedusha. One is kedushas haguf, that's the when you actually sanctify an animal to serve as a korban. And there's kedushas berek habayis, which is you can, instead of sanctifying an animal to be a korban, you can sanctify an animal to be used for the temple treasury. So such an animal, you're allowed to be makdish. If you say you have an animal with a blemish, and you say, I makdish this animal to berek habayis, to use as the temple treasury, so you take the animal to the people in charge in the Beis HaMikdash, and they sell the animal, and they use the proceeds to do whatever repairs are necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. So that type of hakdosha, so that is allowed. You're only not allowed to sanctify an animal that's going to be, you want to be, to serve as a korban. Shalom nakdish bali mumin lakrivim lamizbeyach, v'afapi shalohi krivam, even if you don't actually end up offering it. The Hekdesh Levad Yesh Isser Lav. There's a negative commandment involved in actually just declaring that the animal is subject to the holiness. Val HaHekdesh Levad Nemar, Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Sakrivu Mishum Bal Takdesh. So there's a set of psukim that we're going to analyze now in terms of their mitzvah significance. As a lot of Lashonis talking about how you should not sanctify animals. So it says, Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Sakrivu, you shall not literally offer up, but it says not even if, it doesn't mean only if you actually offer it on the altar, but even if you simply sanctify it, you still violate the prohibition. Mishor Sheh Mitzvah Mashikos Avnu L'Ma'ala B'Lav Yud Beiz Uva'asi Dala. That the point is that the korbanos have to be of a high caliber, because the korbanos are not just... You know, we don't believe that some ancient societies did lahavdil that the deity eats the korban. If you don't offer korbanos properly, so the deity is going to starve. That's not it. The point is really of the korbanos is to teach us a lesson that if we see this animal being shechted and its blood sprinkled on the altar, you think oy vey, you sacrifice some of your property that affects you personally, and you should think, imagine that maybe that should really be happening to me because of my sins, and God gave us the opportunity to offer an animal instead of punishing ourselves. So if that's the case, then the animal should be of the caliber that has the strongest impact on you as possible. If you have this weak, sickly animal, and you bring it to the base of Mikdash, and you shecht and offer it as a korban, so you're going to think, good riddance. I don't want this animal anymore. But if you bring the choicest, delicious-looking animal as a korban, so you're going to really... Your soul is going to be tied into it more, and it's going to have the proper impact on your neshama. Yeah.
Now, these blemishes are all external ones, right? They're not like a
treifus. Also, for animals, it's treifus.
Treifus. Wait a second. So, in other words, an animal which has like a punctured lung or something like that,
right?
You'd be able to tell until you checked it, but if you knew it somehow in advance, then you would not be able to offer the korban.
Correct. Correct. So you have the external defects that you see, but treifa is also no good. That if the animal happens to be shechted and is found to be a treifa, then the korban is no good.
Mm-hmm. So you have to bring another one, in other words.
Yeah, but most of the time you're not mechuyev to check.
Wait, so
this would be if it would be rare that this such a thing would happen because the kohen would be shechting the animal, you know, calmly, taking the skin off the animal, whatever else they need to do in order to finish offering it as a korban, and they happen to notice something that constitutes a treifa, then you'd have to repeat the korban. You don't have to check.
You don't have to, no bedika, like the lungs and so on and so forth.
The checking of the lungs that we have nowadays for chulin is a chumrah midrabanan, because it is on a deraisa level, you go by the majority, so you don't have to check again. If on a deraisa level, obviously, if you happen to notice something's wrong, so you can't ignore it, that goes without saying, but if you don't have to check the lungs, because most animals are kosher, you don't have to check any part of the animal, you assume any animal you shecht is going to be kosher. But since adhesions on the lungs are very common, even though they're not a majority of animals, since adhesions on the lungs are very common, so then there's a requirement to check.
It's shocking. I mean, Kohanim did not eat glatt kosher?
They didn't look.
Well, obviously then.
There's no such thing. The only thing is glatt kosher if you check the lungs.
Ah, all right, well.
Everybody agrees.
It's even worse. They didn't even bother in finding out if it was glatt kosher.
Well, no, everyone agrees that if you have an animal even that you shechted nowadays, and somehow the lungs disappeared before you got a chance to check them, then you're allowed to eat the animal, because you go by the rove. Right. It's lechatchila derabanan, then it's if there's something that's so common and you don't check for it, it looks as if you're ignoring it. That you're just like, you know, whistling, walking down, whatever happens.
But it still seems very strange that, you know, you think the standards of, you know, for what Kohanim would eat in the Beis HaMikdash should be higher, if anything.
Well, in the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of derabanans did not apply. So, for example, in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, the Shvusim did not apply. The things that Chazal instituted on the Rabbanah level for Shabbos did not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that's the principle. So the same thing was here. They, anything that's Aser Midrabbanah, what's Aser?
Yeah, well, there was a fire was burning.
Right. That's besides the principle also that the Avoda is Docha Shabbos. So there's certain things in the Korbanos that are Isurim Derabanan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Shechitah, you know, putting the meat on the altar, that's all Deraisa. But the Avoda is Docha Shabbos. Just like a bris is Docha Shabbos, there's certain things that are Docha Shabbos. But, right. So, but that's not, it's not, so this principle also, this Chumra Derabanan of checking the lungs, did not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. So the same thing, too. Nowadays, if you go to a Sfardi, even if you go, you know, the most machmer Sfardi, who's extremely makbid, that it has to be super, super glatt, otherwise you won't eat it. That's in a case where you checked the lungs and you found them to be problematic. But if, the classic case is if a wolf came into your slaughterhouse and decided that the lungs were the tastiest part, so you shechted the animal, and you think the bodek is going to come check the lungs in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, a wolf sneaks into your slaughterhouse, sticks his mouth up the cavity of the animal exactly where the lungs would be, rips out the lungs, you know, licks the walls of the abdominal cavity clean so you don't see any remnants of adhesions. So such a case, then you would not, the Sfardi, even the most machmir Sfardi, would be allowed to eat the meat. That's also one thing that, one reason that a lot of poskim, Sfardi poskim, are mater for Sfardim to eat in Ashkenazi households. That Sfardim lechatchila have to buy meat that's super glatt kosher, the lungs are completely smooth. But b'dieved, if you go to eat in Ashkenazi house, and you have no idea where the provenance of this meat, the provenance of this meat is, so that's as if the lungs were taken out. You didn't have a chance to the possibility to check the lungs, and therefore you'd be allowed to eat the meat, relying on the fact that most animals are kosher. There is a little bit of a twist with that nowadays, which is that nowadays, in order to make money with a sardim, so a lot of times, I don't know exactly how across the board this is applied, but a lot of slaughterhouses separate out the meat that's really glatt for the sardim, or for people who just want to be machmer and take the Beis Yosef, the really glatt meats. So if that's the case, then it's almost certain that the meat in the Ashkenazi household, unless he bought the one that's explicitly labeled Beis Yosef, it's almost certain that this meat was not Beis Yosef glatt. But I assume, I don't know if they take out every single one and it's then marketed separately. Sometimes probably some of the Bezos gets mixed in. But in general, post Svardi, post Gemar, Mater B'dievet to eat in an meat in an Ashkenazi household. Okay. B'dine ha-mitzvah. I'm sorry, Mishorsh. B'dine ha-mitzvah, kolomar ma'in ha-mumin ha-posin. What are the types of defects that forbid an animal to be brought, to be consecrated to the Beis Mikdash? The chama, how many there are. Remember, we discussed when we were talking about the mumin of the Kohanim that there are a certain number of mumin, 93, I think, which are applicable, which are mumin. 50 of them are applicable to humans only. Some are applicable to both, and some are applicable to humans only, and some are applicable only to the animals. So the internal ones are applicable only to animals, the trephis, but the external ones, some of them are equivalent for humans and for animals. It's all found the length of Maseches Bechoros. This is in all places, in all times. Bizchar Munikevos. Bechol ha'over aleha v'hikdish ba'almum afilu bizman hazeh avar al lav zeh. So nowadays, what happens if you are makdish an animal? You sanctify an animal. Hareze ola, hareze shlamim, hareze whatever.
Okay, you don't want to fool around with that.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like, you still have to feed it?
You let it graze sell and you don't
it?
Touch it.
Whatever.
You can't sell it. So that's, you can't sell it. It's kadosh.
Yeah, that, right.
What's the
Well, you shouldn't do it nowadays. You should not sanctify any animals.
There's no base of mikdash today.
But if you did it, again, not recommended at all to sanctify animals, even the most pristine, beautiful animal. But nowadays, if you did sanctify an animal that had a mum, then you would still fully violate the mitzvah. You would, in theory, receive the penalty of a malchus.
So it's doubly pointless then, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
All right, you'll have to clap an extra al chayt on Yom Kippur.
You can eat the animal then, right? You know,
you can't eat it. Why? It's
wait, no, wait. You go ahead. You say, okay. You know, haray is you know like this. You go ahead, make the you make it hektesh. Okay?
Yeah.
Then it turns out you take a closer look at it. Whoops! It's got a mum. So then it's not you know.
That's not a no.
At that point, the animal. At that point, the animal's it can be eaten, right?
No. It's still kadosh. No, you're not you don't violate the mitzvah because you thought it did not have a mum.
And it also can get the mum after you've consecrated the animal.
Right, then you can be podet. That's true. Then you can redeem it with money. Yeah.
Your animal.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, then you can redeem it.
All right.
But but you have a you violate the mitzvah, right? Umina nire shelo yeh bezeh malkos levisha inwa maisa. Sefer Chinuch says, it seems a little strange that this mitzvah should have malkos attached to it. Why? Because it's not a maisa, it's just words.
Mm-hmm.
You say hareza ola. Alarisi a Rambam zichron alvracha shekoso shemakdish ba'almum loke. But the Rambam says, in such a situation, you do receive the penalty of lashes. It's like tamura. Tamura is when you have a consecrated animal and you decide you'd really rather have a steak from that animal. So you think, God doesn't care. It doesn't make a difference. So you switch them. You say, instead of what's two good cow names? Instead of Bessie, I'm gonna be Makdish. What? That's another good cow name besides Bessie.
Elsie.
Elsie,
the glue one, not the glue pig.
Uh-huh. Instead of Bessie, I want to be Makdish Elsie. So guess what? If you do such a thing, then Bessie and Elsie are both going to be kadosh. You can't substitute it. And that, even though it results in both becoming hektish, you still receive the penalty of lashes. You violate the mitzvah because you attempted to switch them. So in that case, even though that's also allowed Shiva Maisi, you get Malkus. He says, even though I don't really get it, nevertheless, the Rambam says you receive the penalty of Malkus for being Makdish Baal Mum, just like you receive a penalty of Malkus for Temura, for the same reason. And since it's a very stringent halacha, and your words do affect something very big, so therefore you still receive the penalty of Malkus. So some of the commentators on the Sefer Chinuch point out, he doesn't understand exactly what the Chinuch is getting over here, because it seems to be an explicit Gemara that somebody who's Makdish Baal Mum receives the penalty of Malkus. So again, one of these things in the Sefer Chinuch that are a little bit difficult to understand. Okay. Resh Pei Vav 286. Mitzvahs HaKorban Lios Tamim. The positive commandment that a korban has to be mum free. Shia kol korban shenakriveu shalem b'mino min amumin shebo b'kosuv v'meosan shebo hakabol aleihem shehem mumin. That any korban that we offer on the mizbeach has to be free of any defects. V'hu ma shenemar al zeh tamim yelerotzon. It should be blemish free, and that shall be to, in your favor. V'amru v'sifra tamim yeh mitzvah saseh. So the korban is only finds favor in the eyes of God if it has no mumen. They view raya aliyos anesachim v'soltam v'shamna v'tachlis hashlemus. Me'afzed. That not just the animals themselves, but the accompanying menachos, the meal offerings and the libations of wine, should also be lacking amum. So what does that mean? Your wine can't have a broken back? I mean, what does that mean? The answer is that there's no specific thing, mumen, governing these other things, but the idea is that with the animals as well as these, as the libations and the menachos, you're supposed to bring high quality stuff. You're not supposed to bring, you know, flour that's going a little rancid. You're not supposed to bring wine that's of very low quality, you know, starting to turn into vinegar. That's a shaylan din also, but and that's what the idea is, that and the animals that you bring also should not be, even if, again, the only things that absolutely invalidate the korban are if it's one of the official mumen. But that doesn't mean that you should bring an animal that just barely doesn't have a mum. You're supposed to bring animals that are very good quality, very fat, very, geschmack looking, to, again, to emphasize the idea that korban is your highest priority in terms of spending your finances. That you want to make sure that the korban has the most positive effect on you as possible, and that's going to be the case when it's the highest level of physical perfection. Shorish ha-mitzvah nigla. The idea of the mitzvah is as follow, is obvious. Ayim ma'ashik damnu le'mala b'ni ha-korbanos l'shat tzadap shat, she'im l'oru l'chavein ma'chasheves b'nei ish el Hashem baruch hu. That the idea of korbanos is to direct one's thoughts towards God. Ki ha'adam ispayel b'choach masav. That a person is moved based on the things that the person does. Al kein roy al kopanim liyos korban b'limum, ki mizimos ben adam lo yanuchav lo yispashtu b'min ha'pachus kibo b'choshuv. That people's thoughts and people's feelings and actions are not governed as well by things that are low quality. Ki alavavos yosaru b'choshuv v'shalem b'mino yoser, that your heart will be motivated by things that are more perfect. V'zeh davar yadu ala kol mevin. That you have to, for religious things, you have to give it, make it very high quality as well. It's also part of Zekei, there's a mitzvah of one of the drushes in Shiras Hayam, Zekei li ve'anvehu. That the simple Pasha understanding of the Pasuk is, this is my God and I will make for him a sanctuary. But the Chazal also understood ve'anvehu as being from the, you correlated to the root nun, the word na'e, nun aleph hey, that it's supposed to be beautiful. That's why your mitzvah objects, your lulav, your tefillin, your tzitzis are all supposed to be nice looking. They shouldn't be, you know, old and ripped. And even if the lulav is technically kosher, it should be, you know, you should walk into shul with it and everybody's staring at your lulav. No, that's a gorgeous lulav. Not to be jealous, but to be, it could be to be tosh shalom lishma balishma, that you want people to think you have a beautiful lulav, but there is a mitzvah independently how beautiful it is. Yeah?
Get back to wine, actually. Now, as I recall, discussions about, you know, the wine you should use for the arbicosos.
Yeah.
Aren't there some, hidurim that have to do with what would be suitable for the base of Mikdash? Or is there, am I confusing that?
The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, of all places, why Maseches Bava Basra? Bava Basra talks about commercial law. So the reason is it talks about what happens if you sell someone wine and it's really turning into vinegar. What's the halachas governing this? In the context of that discussion, the Gemara quotes a brisa which basically says that you can only make kiddush on wine that's roi to be a libation. Mm-hmm. So if the wine cannot be used as a libation, then you're not allowed to use it for kiddush. So it says, the Gemara explains that this doesn't mean that if a wine, something cannot be used lechatchila for a libation, you can't use it for kiddush. It says, even the standard is higher for libations than kiddush. If something is acceptable bidyeved, if you brought it already as a libation, you don't have to repeat the libation, so you're allowed to use it lechatchila for kiddush. So the Gemara gives a few examples of it. A few examples of the type of wine that you're allowed to use for it. That's also the shaila with white wines. So white wines, the Gemara says, after this whole discussion, the Gemara ends off, so what's the din with white wine? So the Gemara answers by bringing the pasuk in Mishle, al tere yayin ki yis adam. Don't look not upon wine, though it be red, I think is a classical translation. So the Mishonim discuss as to whether that question is talking about Kiddush or is talking about Nesachim, and within that statement as well, there's a disagreement as to whether it means that white wine is unacceptable, or it means white wine is acceptable. What exactly is the answer? So the most famous Shita is the Ram. Most Rishonim hold that at least for Kiddush, if not for Nesachim, some say Nesachim also, but at least for Kiddush, that white wine is acceptable. But there's the Shita of the Ramban, how he learns the Gemara above, also. So he holds that white wine is absolutely not acceptable for Kiddush Friday night. Doesn't apply to Kiddush Shabbos morning and Havdalah, but it applies for Kiddush Friday night. White wine would not be acceptable. And it's funny because when you talk about Arba Kosos, so there's also the Yerushalmi that talks about the halachos of the Arba Kosos, so the poskim learn a lot about that regarding Kiddush as well, because the first cup of the Arba Kosos is the cup for Kiddush. So if the Yerushalmi says that it's kosher for Arba Kosos, so then it's kosher for Kiddush as well. And over there, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says, mitzvah lotzeis b'yayin adom. It says it's preferable mitzvah, it's a good thing to fulfill the Arba Kosos using red wine. So a lot of the Rishonim ask on the Ramban, but the Yerushalmi said that it's just a mitzvah. It's preferable to use red wine. So how can you say that white wine is not acceptable for Kiddush, even b'di'eved? He said, no, I think over there mitzvah doesn't have the normal meaning. It says mitzvah means that it's a requirement to use red wine. Okay. But Lemaisa, the Shita of the Ramban is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, so there is a general preference to make Kiddush on red wine as opposed to white wine, but certainly if no red wine is available, or according to many poskim, even if the white wine is of higher quality than the red wine, or if you simply cannot detest, you cannot stand red wine at all, and you can only drink Moscato, so then you make Kiddush on the Moscato. If you can handle red Moscato, so that's better. There's such a thing. But,
there is rose or something like this.
There's rosé wine. Rosé wine is good as even according to the Ramban.
No, rosé counts as red,
Pashtus is that it just means that it has to be... some Rishonim also say that the only thing that might be possible for Kiddush is wine that's, like, really white. But our white wines, which are a little greenish yellowish, are okay. So what does that mean? I'm not sure exactly what that means. If the Rishonim mean that what we call nowadays white wine would for sure be okay, but the only thing that would be possible would be wine that looks abnormally pale, like sickly pale white. I don't know exactly how such a thing could occur, but okay. The other option is that what it means is that something like what we call white wine is absolutely no good, and what they say is okay b'di'evit is like rosé wine. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what the scale is over here, but nevertheless, I think that Rishon actually possels rosé wine for Kiddush Friday night. It would be a kosher according to everyone. Okay, but like I said, we Lamaisa, when it comes down to it, this the Ramban is Das Yachid, and we don't really fully accept the Ramban except to be Choshesh Lechatchila. If at all possible, then there's a preference for red. It also says the Talmud Yerushalmi says that you're allowed to use yain mevushal. You're allowed to use cooked wine for the arba kosos. So that sounds like you can use mevushal wine for kiddush as well. But the Rambam and certain of the some of the geonim say that no. That what we say in the Talmud Bavli, that you're not allowed, that you're only allowed to use wine for Kiddush if it's acceptable, at least b'dieved, for a libation, that indicates that you're not allowed to use yayin mevushal, cooked wine, for Kiddush. Again, this would be Kiddush Friday night, unless you hold that. There are some rishonim that hold the yayin mevushal is shahakol. We don't pass something like that, so we would allow it certainly for Kiddush Shabbos morning and for Avdullah, but the Rambam, and other Rishonim hold that Mevushal Lemaisa is no good. So the other Rishonim say, no, that some other Rishonim say, no, that's not true. Because when the Gemara says, that it has to be kosher for a libation, at least but yeah, but to be kosher for Kiddush, that doesn't mean literally that every single case that's not acceptable as a libation is not kosher for Kiddush. That only means, it means to exclude wine that's of poor quality, like really bad, you know, terrible type of wine. It doesn't mean that if there's a technical problem of using it for a libation because it's cooked, then that would be unacceptable for Kiddush as well. So again, the Shulchan Aruch, again, paskins lemaisa that you are allowed to use mevushal wine for Kiddush, but again, there is a preference that if, you know, because it's a simple understanding of the Yerushalmi, and that may why make a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi if you can get out of it. Again, there is a preference that if at all possible, so to use non-mevushal wine for Kiddush, but again, that would only apply Friday night, not for Shabbos morning and for Avdullah. But it is important. It is, you should make Kiddush on wine that tastes good to you. That's the whole point of the mitzvah of Kiddush, that it's supposed to, since it's Chazal associated the mitzvah of Kiddush with a cup of wine, it's supposed to, the point is that since people enjoy drinking wine, so you associate words of praise for Shabbos with drinking wine, it's supposed to encourage you to think about it, and to it's supposed to attract your attention to speaking about the holiness of Shabbos. That's why, you know, if you're a brisker who doesn't happen to like wine, and you pick, you know, between all your chumras, so the only wines that are acceptable are dry, red, non-mevushal wines. So you're going to spend however much money on a bottle of wine. You're going to pour yourself for kiddush. You're going to force yourself to drink, you know, the required shear, and okay, and then you don't drink the rest for the meal, and you just it goes against the hashkafa of the mitzvah of kiddush. So you can try to, there are sweet non-mevushal red wines that would be acceptable according to everyone, but the main point is to make kiddush a wine that you like. But again, if all things being equal, so I'm lucky because the wines that I prefer anyway are generally the ones that are kosher l'kiddush according to everyone. So why shouldn't I be yotzei the mitzvah of kiddush according to everyone? But for people who don't like such wines, you don't have to chop every single chumrah regarding the kiddush, but like you mentioned, there are these preferences that are published, especially in Pesach guides. Again, it's a little bit strange that everybody's makbid on these things for arba kosos, whereas not for kiddush Friday night the whole year round. I remember, I've been to Starim where people, you know. They said, okay, you know, I'm drinking non-mevushal wine for the four cups. I've been to this person's house for Shabbos. You know, you make kiddush on mevushal wine all year. Like, why? Why? Here it's even worse, because the mitzvah of arba kosos is not just the mitzvah of remembering Shabbos. The part of the point of the mitzvah of arba kosos is it's a simchas yontif. That is, you're supposed to drink the type of wine that you enjoy. So he says, I'm breaking this out just for arba kosos. It seems a little odd to me, and especially because the Yerushalmi says almost explicitly that you can be yotzei arba kosos with mevushal wine, and you can be yotzei with white wine if necessary. So it seems very odd that, again, the people are pushing these chumras regarding Pesach, and not regarding Kiddush Friday night all year long, which is a more important mitzvah, certainly, than the last three cups of the arba kosos. The first cup is Kiddush. It's, according to most poskim, it's the same level as Friday night. But anyway, okay, if you want to be mahadar, enjoy, but you should if you fit all possible. So do it every Friday night. Don't just do it for the four cups. Okay. So you should get good wine to serve as a libation. Midini ha-mitzvah says the Sefer Chinuch Halachos as follows. Hamumin shemanu chachomim zichronam levracha sheposlim bekorban sheim shivim u'shlosha. There's 73. Chamishim e'am bein badam bein behema. 50 of them are applicable both to humans and to animals. V'he'esrim u'shloshem yuchadim ha-behema v'einan ru'yim lios ba'adam. There are some others. The 23 are only by animals and not in humans. Kmo ken yesh mumen shehem miuchadim adam shen ruyim lios ba'behema. Avein tishim, there are the 90 mumen of kohanim that are only shayach to humans and not shayach to animals. Kmo shnichtov v'seder zeh gabi mumen haposlim ba'kohen. I remember this in the original order of the Sefer Chinuch, that came later than this mitzvah, but in our order that we have here in the Minchas Chinuch, so it's coming after. V'chein ma shechalku zichron al-racha chilku bein mum kavua le-mum over. That there's a difference between a blemish that is fixed and a blemish that is expected to heal. So the difference would be that if you're makdish of something with a mum over, which according to simple understanding is discussed in the commentaries on the Sefer Chinuch over also, that it seems that if you're makdish behema with a mum over, so then that would also be subject to all these restrictions and rules and derisa problems. But in that case, you just wait till the mum fixes itself, and then you can offer it as a korban, or as opposed to if it's a mum over, then you have to kick in the pedia. You have to redeem it, and then use the money for another korban. Fine. Masha amru shein hamumin poslim bekorban ov shalonem arben tomim zachar. So all these types of blemishes are only regarding animals, not regarding birds. Mm-hmm. These are like little things when, you know, there's a nick in the eye. Something like that is possible as an animal to be used as a korban, but it's not possible a bird. But if you have a bird that has something really wrong with it, like it's dried up, or that its eye is completely blinded, or its foot got chopped off, then that would not be allowed to be a korban. If it's a really big blemish, so then you would not be allowed to offer such a bird as a korban. Yeah.
One thing, I think we probably for it, but they do shechita of birds.
The yeah.
Mikdash, they use a fingernail.
Well, there's no shechita of birds in the mikdash. Yeah, it was called malika. Yeah.
What do you call that? Okay. How is it possible that you could go ahead and you know, again, as we said, it's old. You say they're old rabbanans with birds, and so therefore, you know, the rules were different in the base of mikdash.
No, it replies only in the God said that by a korban you shecht it this way, and by chulin you shecht it this way.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah. And only again the. Right, if you shecht the bird in that way, not in the context of that, then it's in the avela. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a shita in the Gemara in shechita l'of min haTorah that the institution of shechita by a bird is only derabanan. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that both birds and animals require shechita midaraisa.
Wait a minute, I thought the whole status of poultry as being, you know, basar is that's derabanan.
You mean in terms of mixing with milk?
Yeah, yeah. So forth.
That's because they don't produce
milk. Okay, right.
Yeah, there's nothing to do with the shechita per se on a derech level. That's the rabbanan.
Oh, okay, right.
That the rabbanan, so anything that requires shechita, you're not allowed to cook with milk because it's going to get confused between the two.
Oh, so the requirement for shechita for birds is, in fact, derech level.
Yeah, that's how we pass it, yeah. Fine. V'yeser protem evarim aperek shmini mimenachos. The rest of the details are in the 8th parak of Menachos. V'noheges mitzvah zo bizman habayis. That this mitzvah is only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. V'over aleh v'shachad uzorak adam v'hikta raimurim v'behima balas mum al ha-mizbech v'itala seizeh. So this you don't have the possibility of violating nowadays because it assumes that you're actually offering it as a korban. You neglect to perform this positive commandment of making sure that all the korbanos are blemish free. So So if you sanctify it, you sheft it, you sprinkle the blood, and you put the innards on the altar, so you get four sets of malchus. They're all independent provisions. We haven't gotten to all of them yet, but you receive four malchus. Va'al masha amar she'im higdish loket tzarech talmud. Again, we're going to discuss later, again, this because the previous mitzvah that we discussed was later in the original order of the Sefer Chinuch. So he says that if you get malchus for the step of being makdish it, of sanctifying it, so that requires some analysis as to why that should receive malchus, even though it's lav she'ein bo ma'isa, as we said before. Mitzvah Reish Pei Zayin, 287, so nitein mum b'kodshim, that we should not inflict a blemish upon sanctified animals. So nitein mum b'kodshim, kolomar shel nasa b'behima, shi kedosh shel ha-mizbeach, shum chabura, o shum shever shi'ifsala lehakrava. We shouldn't inflict any breakage or wound that would cause a mum. Shenemar kol mum lo yiyebo. V'amr zichron levracha kariba lo yehayebo. That it's any mum, any blemish should not be in it. The interpretation is that one should not cause a mum. Lo yehaye to inflict, to cause. V'amr zichron kol mum lo yiyebo al titein bo mum. You don't give. There shall be no blemish in these animals. So that implies that you shouldn't do it. It's exactly the opposite of the attitude that we want you to have towards the Kohanim. I mean, the Kohanim.
You shouldn't beat up a
Kohen
either.
Right, no. Why exactly it's important that these things receive the proper respect and honor in your minds. You receive the penalty of lashes if you inflict a mum on an original animal that was sanctified, or tumura. If you say, I want to sanctify Essie instead of Bessie, so whether you inflict the damage on Elsie or Bessie, you receive the penalty of lashes. So there's special status by a tumura of a firstborn animal and of the tithed animal. Now, we're not going to go into now, but those are not as stringent, so therefore you do not receive the penalty of lashes. Nevertheless, you wouldn't receive the penalty of malchus. So again, like we said, if you have a cow and you say harezo korban, so that hektish is absolutely chal. The animal becomes sanctified. But nevertheless, if you inflict a blemish on it, you wouldn't receive the penalty of lashes, even though you're not allowed to do it, because there is no possibility currently of this animal being brought as a korban, so therefore it's not as stringent, since you're not actually preventing it from being brought as a korban, so you wouldn't receive the penalty of lashes. Kimoshim is bar begimara vodazara. Reish peiches, mitzvah reish peiches, 288, shel nizrog dam baal mum al hamizbeach. That we should not sprinkle the blood of a blemished animal on the altar. So nizrog dam bali mumin al gabi amizbeach shenemar averes o shavura charutz o yabelas o gorav o lefes, listing all these types of blemishes. Lo sakrivu elu Hashem, don't sacrifice these. The god of kabbalah shezalav hu monea mizrikas dam bali mumin, that we shouldn't sprinkle the blood. Vizeo das tanakama begimara tura, this is the shita of the tanakama. This is how we paskin v'chein lach Hashem Hashem v'tanakama. That refers to the sprinkling of the blood. All these types of odos is not allowed. Kol inyan azharazok azharas nesinas mumba kodshim, same idea. Ushchidas balmum vaktaras imurin, aval ein lechashvei maisurin anogi mayom lefi shein lanu mizbech levanosenu. You physically cannot sprinkle the blood of a balmum on the altar nowadays because there's no altar. So therefore you don't receive, you can't, it's not shaykh nowadays that you should be able to do this. Mitzvah Reish Pei Tes, 288, so nishchad bali mumin l'shem korban. We shouldn't shecht blemished animals as a korban, so nishchad bali mumin l'shem korban, shnemar l'sakrivu elu Hashem, l'shem sifra l'sakrivu mishum bal tishchad. Again, another usage of the word l'sakrivu means that you shouldn't shecht it. Kol inyan mitzvah zo meforesh v'mitzvah kodemes la, aval ein lach shoviz v'zei menogim ayom l'fi she'en l'anamikdash v'avonoseinu l'shchad sham korbano Seinu. We cannot physically shecht a korban in order to slaughter you can shecht it. You can shecht it, which would be an improper shechita on a sanctified animal, but you cannot shecht an animal to shame a korban because there's nothing to do with it. So therefore, this mitzvah would not be applicable nowadays either. Mitzvah Reish Tzadi 290, Shelo Nakdir Emurei Bali Mumin. We should not offer the innards of blemished animals. Shelo Hakdir Emurei Bali Mumin. Perush Emurin Kasavdi Batseir Tzav, the innards of the animal that were burnt on the Mizbech. Well, Zanemar, Yishelo Sidnu Mehem Al HaMizbech. Again, the Sukkim give different Lashonos about what you're not allowed to do with the blemished animal. So one of them is this, and that's what we interpret it as you're not allowed to burn the innards on the altar. Inyan Mitzvah Zo Gamkein Uver Mekom a couple of mitzvahs ago, we explained all the sources of this. We have no base of mikdash nowadays in order to offer up karbana. So I think it's very appropriate, actually, that all these last couple mitzvahs that we're doing, just a couple, Tisha B'Av is tomorrow night. So just very shortly before Tisha B'Av, we've been discussing these mitzvahs. And the Sefer Chinuch has been emphasizing that it's due to our sins, but I want to say that we have no Beis HaMikdash. So it's important that we learn about the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash to keep it in our consciousness. But again, it's a good musar from the Sefer Chinuch shares normally about halacha, but we had good musar from the Sefer Chinuch now. That again, and it was appropriate for the time period that we're learning about these things. And Sefer Chinuch is telling us that this is not knowing. We have all these mitzvahs that are not applicable nowadays because due to our sins, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So hopefully next time we learn this mitzvah in the Sefer Chinuch, we can revise the text of the Sefer Chinuch and say that and learn it lemaisa that you're not allowed to burn these things on the Mizbeach.